It is not an understatement to say that the eyes of the world are on Gaza. More than 35,000 people have been killed there since the start of hostilities on October 7th, 2023, and more than 90% of those deaths have been civilians. The Israeli military has used a very heavy hand, even by Israeli military standards, destroying hospitals, churches, mosques, apartment blocks, and literally everything else in its path. Human rights violations and war crimes are rampant. And as a result, Israel stands alone, except, of course, for the ongoing support of the United States. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Much of the world is focused on the war in Gaza and on the atrocities that are taking place there. The United Nations said in mid-March that more children had been killed in Gaza in the first 4 months of the conflict than had been killed in all other conflicts around the world in the last 4 years combined. The South African government has taken action by suing Israel in the International Court of Justice, and the United Nations General Assembly has been nearly unanimous, with the obvious exceptions of the United States and Israel, that the fighting must stop immediately and that human rights must be respected. Those demands, however, have fallen on deaf ears. Diplomatically, Israel is increasingly isolated. Several South American countries have broken diplomatic relations with Jerusalem, while Spain, Ireland, Slovenia, and Malta announced recently that they would recognize an independent Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital. The United States vetoed recognition of a Palestinian state in the UN Security Council recently, but the subsequent vote to recognize Palestine in the General Assembly was absolutely overwhelming. In the meantime, Israel continues to trample the human rights of Palestinians all over Gaza and the West Bank. The United Nations is calling that a genocide. Washington has finally begun to complain to Israel, and it has delayed a recent arms shipment. But does Washington have the wherewithal and the will to put its foot down on Israeli actions against civilians? Very few observers think so. We're joined today by Tarek Hajjaj. He's the Mondo Weiss Gaza correspondent and a member of the Palestinian Writers Union. He studied English literature at Al-Azhar University in Gaza. He started his career in journalism in 2015, working as a news writer and translator for the local newspaper Donya Al-Watan. He has reported for Al-Badi, Middle East Eye, and Al-Monitor. Welcome, Tarek. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tarek, I want to get directly to the main point. You're a Gazan. You have reported from Gaza. You have family in Gaza directly affected by the war. Tell us what the situation is like on the ground there. What is life like for the average Gazan in the midst of the Israeli invasion?
Well, actually, it looks like lifeless because there's no life in Gaza, only horror, fear, death, and displacement. Most of the families evacuated from one place to another, maybe for the seventh time during this war. The usual scene for people in Gaza now become like ladies and their children, their kids running on the street above or and next the rubble. They cry, they run, they are looking for safety. And in the background, you can see the smokes and the bombing and the destroyed homes just behind them. So the war made this scene is usual and as the main scene inside the Gaza Strip, only people running from death from one place to another. This is what it looks like there in Gaza. This is exactly what it looks like. Like people always running from one place to another. They find no place to go. Even when they go to some place that Israeli army ordering them to go to, when they settled there, the army called them again, ordering them to evacuate one more time. This is the situation on the ground.
We've heard nightmare stories of practically every Gazan hospital having been destroyed, about a lack of food, water, electricity, and fuel. Tell us about this and about why international aid is not making its way into Gaza, whether through Rafah or otherwise.
There was like 35 hospitals are operating in the Gaza Strip before the war. But now there are only four hospitals operating in all of Gaza Strip, only four hospitals for 2 million people. And they are not like major and medical complexes, no. One hospital, one medical complex, it is the European Hospital in Khan Yunis area, and three small medical centers. So the Israeli army invaded and destroyed all of the medical centers in the Gaza Strip, starting with the north of Gaza, and then in the Gaza City, and then in Khan Yunis, like Ashifa Hospital, like Nasser Medical Complex. They destroy all of these hospitals during their invasion and during this war. And regarding to the food and aid, it hurts me to say that people in Gaza are dreaming of food and dreaming of cold water, dreaming of clean water to use. Israel bombing, and Israel is still bombing the bakeries, the markets, the food storage, even the UNRWA-affiliated storage. Israeli army bombed them. Death, kids are falling on the streets and falling in hospitals and home due to their starvation. And I also wrote a story about kids who are starved to death inside Gaza Strip. And I have my own personal story also, because I have a mother who died in the European hospital only because we couldn't find her the medical food and the medication she needs. She died only because of this, because of the war and the medical and aid shortage. So Israel is just trying to tell us as Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip that we will not let you live in any possible means. So just leave this land. Just leave your homes and your lands. And if you're not going to do that, okay, we will bomb you inside your homes and we will force you to leave. And if not, we will let you starve to death.
I am so sorry to hear that. Please accept my condolences. The Palestinian death toll as of mid-May is officially just under 35,000 people. That is an astounding number. But many think that the number is actually much higher because many people have been buried in rubble and have not been recovered. Is that true? And what do you think the death toll actually is?
Well, that number is correct and was released by the health ministry in Gaza. But there are also 15,000 still under the rubble, as also the health ministry stated. And they don't even distinguish or split between fighters and civilians, because most of the death toll are civilians. We have, so far, we have 15,000 people in the death toll are children. And we have also 12,000 women from the death toll. So they mostly are civilians and have nothing to do with fighting Israel. They are civilians inside their homes or inside their tents. And Israel is keeping killing them and displacing them. And something important we have to mention here are victims, whether they are getting killed or getting injured inside the Gaza Strip by the Israeli gun machine war. This represents like 10% of Gaza community in only 7 months. So here we can ask a question. How long Israel needs to keep this war to wipe out all of Gaza Strip? Because so far, 7 months, we are speaking about 10% of Gaza community in 7 months. This is unbelievable. When you look at the death toll and the casualties during this, it is not a long time, by the way, and it is not also a short time. But to find all these casualties in this period of time. This is really dangerous. This is a warning, like Israel is actually doing its ethnic cleansing and genocide inside the Gaza Strip, and no one in the world can stop it so far. So they are keeping their ethnic cleansing and they're keeping their killing silently without any powerful country force Israel to stop, without the UN forcing Israel to stop, without anything of that happens. Only we receive like condemnations from foreign countries, but nothing on the ground to make us feel that we are not alone here. We didn't left alone to face the genocide.
Tariq, stay right there. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Tariq Hajjaj about prospects for some kind of a diplomatic solution in Gaza and in Greater Palestine. Stay tuned.
When the world's largest democracy votes, the rest of the planet watches. In an emerging multipolar world, India's voice matters. But who will be the power behind it? Watch as almost 1 billion people decide and billions more react.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Wars are a result of lies. If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
The importance of WikiLeaks can never be overstated. That transparency is an extraordinary journalistic achievement.
They just succeeded in finding documents that existed and making them available to the world public. I mean, what could be more honorable than that?
By publishing information and sharing information with the public, he was exercising the right to free speech. He did so in the public interest.
I've watched a tsunami of lies and smear engulf him endlessly, vindictively, perfidiously, and I know why they smeared him.
Isn't it ironic that no one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice? But the great truth teller sits behind bars, waiting 175 years a virtual death sentence. Are we going to let that stand?
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Tariq Hajjaj. He's the Mondo Weiss Gaza correspondent and a member of the Palestinian Writers Union. He studied English literature at Al-Azhar University in Gaza. He started his career in journalism in 2015, working as a news writer and translator for the local newspaper Dunya Al-Watan. He's reported for Al-Badi, Middle East Eye, and Al-Monitor. Thanks again for being with us, Tariq.
Thank you.
Tariq, the United States and Israel are increasingly isolated on this war, not just diplomatically in the United Nations, but in terms of global public opinion. Can you foresee a point where the United States, in order to stop the damage being done to it, finally pressures Israel to negotiate some kind of a settlement? Is that even possible?
Actually, I'm not getting fooled by the American propaganda and American lies. That spirit, because I am on the ground here, we are seeing like it is a U.S. war. It is not only the Israeli war. It is a U.S. war because the United States supplies Israel with unprecedented weapons to kill the Palestinians. The United States pretend that They want to achieve justice for Palestinians, and they want to give them a statehood. In the same time, they are supplying Israel with weapons to kill the Palestinians. And in the same time, they just reject any move from any country in the United Nations to help ceasefire or to help Palestinians getting their statehood. It's the war, it's the U.S. war, and I believe if the U.S. wants to stop this war, they can do it easily because they are overwhelming Israel with weapons, and they got the word in this war. But the U.S. is using, and they got some specific and special benefits from their war. And the biggest benefits for the U.S. is the U.S. seaport that it's building in the Gaza coastal beach. I'm not going to like speaking widely in this matter, but this is the goal of this war, to make a U.S. seaport so they can export the natural gas to Europe using this specific area.
Yeah, I could see that. Can you explain to us what the sticking points are relative to a ceasefire or to an exchange of prisoners? The Israelis historically have been willing to give up as many as 500 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, in exchange for a single Israeli citizen. But it seems that the Israeli government doesn't care at all about its citizens being held by Hamas. Why is the Netanyahu government taking this position? Why haven't we seen a massive exchange of prisoners?
Because they will have no reason after that to keep bombing and destroying and killing Palestinians in Gaza. Now they have a reason, like the people in Gaza have our prisoners and we have to go there and get them back. If they make a prisoner exchange and they took all the prisoners from Gaza, what is the reason for Israel after that to keep bombing Gaza? There's no. So I think Israel considered that prisoners inside Gaza are with the casualties of this war. They don't care about the prisoners. Even I believe that they even don't want them to get back. They want them to stay in Gaza Strip as a reason to keep bombing Gaza and keep killing Gaza civilians and people. And when the world say why Israel is doing so, Israel has a legitimate reason.
Let's get into some of the specifics here. The harsh treatment of Palestinian detainees in Israel is well documented. Torture is commonplace. I was speaking with an Israeli human rights attorney last week who told me that one of his clients, who's in an Israeli prison, said that he envies his compatriots in Gaza because they're dead. He said that living in an Israeli prison is worse than death. Is this normal for the Israeli government, or have conditions worsened for Palestinian prisoners since the war started?
Exactly. The condition worsened since this war started. And only a couple of weeks ago, we reported like the death of number of Palestinians who got in prison inside Gaza Strip during the ground invasion, like the physician Adnan Al-Burj, who's a doctor in a Shifa hospital. And the Israeli army took him from a Shifa hospital in Gaza City and jailed him for over a month and a half. And then he just died and passed away inside the prison under the torture as his family released. Yesterday, I was talking to a group of prisoners who got released from the Israeli prison and evacuated to Deir al-Balah area in Gaza Strip. I talked to some of them and they said like the harsh conditions they witnessed inside the Israeli prison is unprecedented. There's no way that Israel dealt with any prisoners like what is doing now in the meantime against the Palestinians, especially from the Gaza Strip. So this war just mounting the heat of the hate of the Israelis against Palestinians, especially from the Gaza Strip. Prisoners say that the Israeli guards left them without food for several days. They tortured them. They put like a huge fan on their in their cell and turn it on and get the prisoners naked. They spoke about like horrible details about the conditions they were jailed in inside the Israeli prisons. And I think this is the first time, maybe not, but this is the first time I'm hearing such testimonies from people who were inside the prisons. They get out with marks and signs of their bodies, of tortures, their back, their hands, their feet. In every inch in their bodies, there's a sign of torture, their faces. Even psychologically, they torture them in every possible mean they can. And they got changed during the past two months inside the Israeli prison. They released and we find them like they changed. They become new people. They're not the same as they were detained in the first time. Everything changed. Israel got like the most evil method and ways to deal with the Palestinians, to let them hate everything, to let them hate their lives. But apparently that doesn't work, because here we are still in our land and still in our homes and still facing the Israeli genocide and speaking about it, and we're not leaving our homes. This is the situation for the majority of people inside the Gaza Strip.
Tariq, how much worse does this conflict get before it gets any better? Is any kind of diplomatic settlement even possible? Can you envision something happening if the Arab world is unified, for example, or are the Palestinians essentially fending for themselves?
I think this is going to be way worse than what's going on now. I believe that Israel is only a war plan, tanks, and bulldozer drivers for the U.S. And I believe of the view that says that the U.S. wants Gaza Strip to be for its own, because there is a huge strategic importance for this place in the coastal, in the Mediterranean coast. So I think someday during this war, after Israel will destroy the Gaza Strip completely and push people to choose by their own to leave this place, because they will find no way to live. And so many of them will decide to leave until Gaza will rebuild and get back. And by this, I think there will be like a statehood, but not Palestine state. I think the U.S. is planning to put like Gaza statehood inside Gaza and some part of other countries, and maybe from Israel itself. They will take some part from the nearby towns on the Gaza border to expand the state of Gaza here. This is how worse it could get after destroying all of Gaza Strip. But to getting back to the question, I believe if we are united as Palestinians in Gaza Strip and the West Bank in the first place, we could pass this war in a way much better. Only if people in Gaza Strip and West Bank are united and fighting in one hand together. Not to mention, what if the Arab countries, all of them, are united? I think if they are united, or even if they defend Palestine correctly, morally, Israel wouldn't even dare to do its ethnic cleansing and its genocide clearly in front of the cameras and in front of everybody around the world without even hesitating. They kill children, women. They destroy completely residential area. The majority death toll, as we mentioned, from civilians, not fighters. Israel is feeling free to do whatever they want, to use all the power, all the weapon they have to kill Palestinians and turn them to pieces. I think if the Arab world, if the Arab countries want this war to end, I think they have the power and they have the influence to force Israel to stop its war and its genocide against Gaza. But instead of taking care of Palestinians who are dying in their homes, under their roofs, and getting bombed while they are safe and sleeping in their homes and their places, instead of taking care of all of these Palestinians, they put more importance to their interest and their relationships with Israel.
Tariq, thank you so much for your continued bravery in bringing us the news from Gaza. The great contemporary philosopher Dr. Noam Chomsky said that the wanton killing of innocent civilians is terrorism. It's not a war against terrorism. He was right about that. There is no moral equivalency between those who would kill using children, innocent civilians, and adults in their homes and in their places of worship, to that of a government that is seeking those terrorists before they can engage in that awful activity. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. Please follow me on Substack at John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.